Titus chapter 2, verse number 9, verse number 10, the Bible says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Heavenly Father, Lord, some good reminders for us tonight and just a good checklist to go through. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Lord, help us to see the opportunities around us every day as we work in this workaday world. And I pray, Lord, that you give us opportunities every day to be able to shine as a light, to be different than the world. And then as you open the doors, Lord, for us to speak a good word for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I think I've spent the last 12 years as the pastor of saying the same thing over and over when it comes to the idea of trying to sell every Christian on the idea that you are a missionary. You are a missionary. You are a missionary. Every single one of us has been commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I say this, and I've got a sermon that I preach on this. You are a missionary. I say if you're a missionary, then you have to have a mission field or mission fields. And I would remind you that your family is a mission field. Hey, is there still someone in your family that's never been saved? Do you have that list somewhere of the folks that you're still praying for? Because I'll tell you what, if anybody ought to carry a burden for lost family members, it ought to be those that are related to them. So be in prayer for those family members and be active in trying to get the gospel to them. I believe that everybody lives where they do for a reason, and I believe you ought to look at your neighborhood as a mission field. I just recently had an opportunity to go back to the church and visit the church, not while they were having church, but visit the property of the church that I was saved. And I drove past the house that I was raised in from the time I was 5 till I was about 12 years of age, and look across the street at the house of the next door neighbors that invited my mom, my dad to church. And folks, let me say this. You know what? I believe the Lord has you live where you live for a reason. And boy, it's worth our time. If you haven't done this for a while, you ought to look at every single verse in the book of Proverbs. We've preached them before. I preached a message years ago on how to be a good neighbor. And you know what? There's a lot of verses in the book of Proverbs that give us instruction about our neighbors. And so we can, if we are a good neighbor, and we should be a good neighbor, then you know what? That'll open doors of opportunity to witness to those around us. And then I think that the workplace, wherever you work, you ought to look at it as a mission field. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I believe everybody that goes to work every day should look around and say, I'm not here by accident. I was born in the family that I was born in on purpose. I live where I live on purpose. I work where I work because God has a greater plan than just me getting a paycheck every week. And you just don't know who you might be able to win to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to be able to witness much for the Lord if we don't obey the Bible in this matter of being the right type of employee and the right type of a worker, because folks are not going to take serious our witness and our testimony if every day they see us go against Bible principles in this matter of being a good employee. So I'm going to give you tonight 5 characteristics of a Christian employee, 5 things to remember when you have a job, and you pay attention to these things. I know a lot of these things are very simple, but it's amazing how often people who are being paid by somebody else absolutely goes against the principles of the Bible. Number one, let me give them to you. Obey your boss. Well, you think that would be just a no-brainer. Obey your boss. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. So, well, I mean, I know he gives me a paycheck, but he shouldn't be allowed to boss me around. Okay, let me review. He is your boss, all right? He's your boss. He pays you, so guess what? You do what he tells you to do. Okay, unless you've been hired as a consultant, and I think a lot of employees think that really they hired them as a consultant, then they have not hired you to give your assessment of their operational procedures. You know what they've hired you to do? to do what they say, to do what they say. And I've worked a lot of different jobs in my life. I've worked for a lot of different companies. 6 years working through, worked my way through Bible college. I worked for United Parcel Service. And let me just look this up. Now, I haven't worked at United Parcel Service since 1987. But I check up on them for every once in a while. All right, see how they're doing. And so far, all of my efforts have paid off in putting them on a path to success. They have $65 billion in revenue, over $65 billion in revenue. Their operating income in 2017, their operating income was $7.529 billion. $7.529 billion. It was only like 100 bucks when I started there, but I made a difference. Their net income in 2017 was $4.9 billion. Their total assets are over $45 billion in 2017. That's the company I worked for, okay? Now, I want you to just absorb that for a minute. Are you thinking about that? And then they hire some part-time worker to load a truck. And I've seen these guys in the 6 years. I've seen them come and I've seen them go. Okay, you've got a company that's managed to produce the revenue of $65.8 million. In 1 year, operating income 7.5, net income 4.9. They have total assets of $45.403 billion. And they hire some 18-year-old kid off the street, and the first thing he wants to do is start mouthing off on the dock about why they do this, and this is dumb the way they're doing this, and they ought to change this, and you know what your problem is? You've never actually run a company. I want to help all of you that's only been on the employee side of things. Let me just tell you this. The easiest thing in the world is to sit around with about that much knowledge of what's really going on and shoot your mouth off like you're an expert. Could I ask the person to stand in this room that has $45.403 billion in assets? I'm waiting. Okay. What, about 42, 41? All right. But he'll have them. I mean, come on, man. He's going to get them. You know that. But, folks, do you realize this company, I'm talking about United Parcel Service. This, where you work can be something different. But we need to do? We need to lose this nonsense. Okay? A company like, they've been in business, United Parcel Service, since 1907. They started delivering packages. Okay? I was born in 1961. I think before I even come along, they probably learned a few things, all right? Everything they do, it's been designed to increase their earning potential, not make you happy. Guess why they're in business? To make money, okay? You ought to be glad the company you're working for, the person you're working for, you should be glad if they're making money. If they're not making money, they're shutting down. If they shut down, you don't have a job. And then, what, did you find out how much they are? What are you, a communist? Come on, you are. Come on. Oh, you are? He's excited about that. Are you listening to, now listen, I'm telling you, if you get around people that have only been on entry level employee positions all their life, you hear the same junk in every conversation. They are experts on everything that's wrong with the company, and they want to talk about that. You hear things like this: "Well, I don't know who designed this, but it was somebody that never worked down here." Well, that's not true. I promise you this: United Parcel Service. Okay, they have teams of people that are constantly reviewing operational procedures and efficiency. They have to have in order to be successful. They have teams of lawyers who assess financial risk and liability. Okay, so the little thing that you think is dumb, you wouldn't think it was dumb if you were one of their lawyers. And you know what they have been sued over. You know, here's the thing. What I'm trying to get you to understand is this, okay? You don't understand what's going on around you in the bigger picture. You're hired by a company. They say, do this and do it this way. And they didn't hire you to teach them a better way to run their $45.403 billion company. Does this help us? All right. Listen, could I just say this? Just be glad you got a job. Okay? Just find out the way the boss wants it done. and do it exactly the way he tells you to do it. Okay? You've never run a $45.403 billion company. This is good for us. It's good for us. It just tends to be the almost a rite of passage in working America to sit around griping about everything around them and thinking that you're smarter than the multi-million dollar company, sometimes billion dollar company that has employed you, okay? So young men, I don't care if it's this or I don't care if it's a one boss operation and you're the only employee. That guy's taking the financial risk. That guy knows more about what he's doing than you do. Just do what he says, the way he says, and you know what? He does not have to give you an explanation of why he wants it done that way. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters. Amen. By the way, parents, that starts in the home. If you can teach obedience without question, obedience without explanation in the home, then you're going to turn out some successful employees one of these days. Number two, learn to please your boss. Now notice what it says here. It says, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things. So you know what? Let me tell you what a smart employee does. A smart employee, he'll learn his boss. He'll figure out what makes that boss happy. He'll figure out what irritates that boss. All right? Sometimes you'll find this out by doing something that irritates the boss, okay? A great employee identifies what irritates the boss and eliminates the irritant. Did you get that? I'm talking about a smart employee, all right? Please them well in all things. The employee who can not only do his job, but can learn to do the extra things that makes his boss's life easier and happier, he will not only always have a job, but he will be the first in line for promotion. You know why? The boss understands that you're thinking, you get it, you're learning him, you're watching him, he can give you something, you can trust him. If an employee becomes an irritant, sooner or later, the boss will remove the irritant. Proverbs 10:26 says, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes. Think about that. I love how graphic the Bible is. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. And so if you are trying to comprehend what that means, go home and find the bottle of vinegar and open it up and just take a big swig of it and wash it around in your mouth, all of your teeth, and just like, I mean, you know, use it for a mouthwash, and you're going to feel what the boss feels when he sends you to do something and you don't do it the way he wants you to do it. Okay, smoke to the eyes. Next time we have a weenie roast out here, you know, whatever way the wind's blowing, just take that side of the fire and stand there and just let that smoke get in your eyes. You know, pretty soon, a guy's only going to deal with that for a certain amount of time. He's either going to move to another place or he's going to put out the fire, but he's not going to stand there and have, you know what, a sluggard. You know what irritates a boss? You know what doesn't please a boss? Somebody that won't work. Somebody that won't work. Somebody that won't work. Folks, boy, I'm going to tell you something. It's not rocket science, but let me just review some things. You know how to make your boss happy in this day and age? Show up. Just show up. Oh, everybody does that. I'm telling you, it's becoming rarer and rarer to find employees that have a good track record, have a good attendance record. Just show up on the job. Show up on the job. I mean, if a boss every day just looking, saying, I don't know if the guy's going to come or not. You know, I just don't know. Every day it's just, well, let's see. But we're allowed, I don't care what you're allowed. Show up. Okay, I'm going to give you an update. My dad, Dad Whittington, we brought him home from the hospital. Cheryl brought him home from the hospital yesterday evening. Brought him home from the hospital. He worked, I think, almost 30 years for Pommering Chevrolet in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, while he pastored a church 21 of those years. And can I tell you this? My father-in-law, Lloyd Whittington, in the almost 30 years that he worked for Pommering Chevrolet, never missed a day of work, never. Now that, you say, preacher, that's almost impossible. I know, it's amazing. Now, thank God, that means he had pretty good health. But that means there was a lot of days that he didn't feel good, but you know what he did? He got in the car and he went to work. Man, I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad he can say that. You know, that's a challenge to my life. You know, show up. Just show up. Here's another concept that's lost on this generation. Show up on time. On time. Matter of fact, show up early. Show up early. Just get there in plenty of time. That way the boss doesn't have to wonder or worry about where you're at. You're there. Johnny on the spot. You're just there. You're down there early. Don't go ahead. Stop looking at your... If you're there, just jump in and start, okay? Here's another thing. Work hard. Show up. Show up on time. Work hard. And get along with the people around you. You know, if you can do those things right there, there are employees all over our community that's looking for that guy or that woman who will just show up on time, show up and work hard, and get along with the people around them. You are hired to make the boss's life easier, not harder. If he assigns you the oversight, now wait a minute, from time to time, boss is going to test you and challenge you, and he may give you the oversight of a task. And if you perform that task, and maybe you even get it done, but in doing so, you create problems that he has to spend time fixing, then you know what? He's probably going to find someone else to oversee the next project. And so learn your boss, learn what pleases him, learn what makes him happy, and you know what? The Bible says, and to please them well in all things. Number three, we'll move on here. Don't mouth off to your boss. Don't mouth off to your boss, all right? Not answering again. What does that mean? That phrase, they're not answering again, means to dispute, to refuse, to contradict, or to speak against. Let me say it again, to dispute. Don't be the person that's always arguing with the boss. To refuse, the one who just says, well, you know what, I'm going to tell you something, I'm just not doing that. To contradict, the boss is trying to give instruction the way he wants it done, and you're the guy always raising your hand and say, you know what, I don't know if that's the, you know what, just be quiet, to speak against, and I mean this, I'm going to tell you something, somebody's writing you a check and you're disloyal, if you can't be loyal to the company, go find a company you can be loyal to, but if somebody's paying, I'm going to tell you something, I got no patience for disloyalty. If you're going to step behind your boss's back and talk him down and talk the company down and talk the people in charge down, then you know what? Go work for somebody else. But if you're going to take their money, then be loyal to them. Be loyal to them, all right? And so don't answer again. Don't answer again. That means you don't need to be disputing what the boss says. You don't need to be refusing. You don't need to be contradicting. You don't need to be speaking against. I worked at a sawmill in Clay City for about a year and a half. And there was, I saw a lot of people come and go. I remember one man in particular, and you can tell when he got the job, he needed a job. You know, I remember him showing up the first day, and his wife drove him to work. And he had lost his license doing something dumb. And I seen the little kids in the back seat. You could tell by the car he was driving. You could tell by the condition of the family. This man needed a job. And you know what? I worked for a good man who had a kind heart. And he'd find these kind of guys and he'd give them an opportunity. But he only lasted about 4 days. And you know why? Because every time the boss would come over and tell him to do something a certain way or tell him to do something, he'd cop an attitude about it. And I'm looking at this wife and these kids and this very obviously poor situation. And here this man has an opportunity to get a job and improve his life and improve his family's life. And he can't keep his mouth shut. And he's always pushing back on the boss. He's always walking over and muttering under his breath and talking to the other employees. Well, I don't know why he wants us to do it. I finally just pulled him over and I said, listen to me. What's your problem? What's your problem? You obviously need the job. What's your problem? He said, well, I don't need any job bad enough to be bossed around. I don't need any job bad enough. He said, I'm going to tell you something. I don't let anybody tell me what to do. And I wanted to say, it's obvious you don't. But look who's paying the price for it. Your wife's paying the price for it. Your kids, what in the world? You know, lose your haughty pride, okay? Don't answer again. You know what? There's two words every employee ought to learn, and that's just, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's really all you need to say. You don't need to answer back. You just need to get after it. Get it. And I mean when you work. And that brings us to number four. Don't slack off on the job. Don't slack off on the job. Where do you get that? Bible says not purloining. What in the world does that mean, preacher? Purloining. If you look up that word means to embezzle. Now, let me just kind of apply this two ways, because the word is kind of dual in this regard. It does mean embezzle as far as you shouldn't steal things from work. Okay? All right? I mean, just because it's laying around the job doesn't mean it's yours. I remember watching my dad. We'd be sitting outside of Andicon Aluminum Company, sometimes picking dad up from work. And I watched him come out of the, past the security guard, and every single employee at Andicon Aluminum Company, remember the black lunch boxes all the men used to have, and they'd go by the security guard and they'd open their lunch box like this as they were walking out. And I remember as a kid asking my dad, "Dad, why are you having to show him?" You know, I didn't know whether, you know, did you eat your lunch? You didn't finish that. You can't leave. You sat down and finished your potato chips. I was a kid. I didn't know what was going on. And so he'd open his box and he said, "There's guys that you know, take things. They'll take tools. They'll take this. They'll take that. They'll put them in their lunchbox. Sometimes they'll put them in their back pocket. Sometimes they'll..." Folks, let me tell you something. That's stealing. I said it's stealing. Well, everybody, I don't care what everybody does. That's stealing. Okay? If you ask for something and you know, your boss says, "Sure, you know, I was going to throw that away. You can have it." If you ask and somebody gives you something, then they gave it to you. But if you take it without asking, I don't care if you say, "Well, everybody does it, and I don't think anybody cares." You better go make sure nobody cares. Okay? So don't embezzle. But the word also is talking about this matter of embezzling. It actually comes from a base phrase of keeping something back. And then, so it's not just stealing by embezzlement. It's stealing by holding back, by keeping back. See, I've never taken anything from my employer. If you are doing less than your best, if you're holding back and keeping back, if you're only working about half speed, if you've only worked about 40 minutes in that hour you got paid, then you embezzled. You stole just as much as you did if you took something. Okay, this speaks to the idea of withholding from your employer your best effort. Don't slack off on the job. Don't, young men, this is a battle that you know most young men have to fight within them. Seems like when a young man they get a job, and sometimes when they're younger, they want the opportunities, and then they get be given an opportunity, and then they find out that work's just work. Work's just work. And depending on who you're working with, I've worked with guys that have said at UPS, "Hey, Jerry, you need to slow down. You're embarrassing us." They'll expect all of us to do that. I'm not going to slow down. I'm not doing less than my best. I'm not doing less than my best. Okay? I've worked with guys, and you, most men and women in here, worked with people that they're always ducking around the corner. They're always hiding off somewhere. They're always, I mean, you know what? You get behind certain vehicles of some employees in this area, and you can't get from point A to point B, and you know what? They're driving about 40 miles an hour in a 55. You know why? They've got a company vehicle, and they're on company time, and they're going to kill as much time. You're stealing from your boss. Besides that, you're making me late getting where I'm trying to get to, all right? All right, stop it. Man, I lied. Now, I'm going to teach you young men something. There's a little phrase you need to learn. It's a good Green County phrase. You know what? When you get into a work and you get into a job, you ought to go after it like a hog after an acorn. A hog after an acorn. What's that mean? That means that, you know what? When it's working time, you jump in there and you work. What are you doing standing back? "Well, I'm waiting for somebody to tell me what to do." Well, if you're brand new and you don't know what to do, then ask what to do. But the honest truth is, if you've been working in the same place for the same person, you're doing the same basic jobs, after the second or third job, you ought to know what to do. Open your eyes, watch what's going on, jump in there, get after it, get it. Okay, stop. When there's a ditch that needs dug or some dirt that needs moved, stop holding back, hoping the older guy will do it. Get in there and take the shovel from him. Jump over there and elbow somebody out of the way. I mean, get after it. I mean, if you'll learn this one thing in life, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing that brings as much self-satisfaction as having a job to do and diving in and working. Stop looking at the clock. Stop counting the minutes till the next break. Stop lingering. Stop turning a 10-minute break into a 15, 18, 20-minute break. Get after it. Get after it. Get after it. Okay, don't slack off on the job, amen? Like a hog going after an acorn, man. You got to just be in there digging and pushing and I mean, get it done. Get it done. Get it done. Get it done. Don't slack off on the job. And the last one, number five, work as unto the Lord. Work as unto the Lord. It says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. There's a good Bible word we ought to understand. Fidelity means to be held to a moral or religious conviction. So how do you show fidelity on the job? You work as a Christian ought to work. That means that you're giving your best. Your work should be a reflection of your faith in Jesus Christ. God and his word should be glorified by both your productivity while you're working and your spirit while you're working. Can I give you just three great whatsoever verses in conclusion? These are umbrella principles. The Bible does not tell us specific commands on every little thing, but it gives us umbrella principles. I call them the great whatsoever verses. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So ultimately, you're working that job to bring glory and honor to God, and your work ethic ought to bring glory and honor to God. How about Colossians 3:17? And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Remember, you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be able to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only should you sign your work, be willing to sign your work at the end of the day, but you ought to be able to put Jesus' name below your name and know that you've represented him well. The last one, and whatsoever you do, Colossians 3:23, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. United Parcel Service, they would have, about twice a year, they'd have this thing, and I can't remember the name of it anymore, but they'd come in twice a year, every 6 months, and here come the supervisor at the back of the truck, and he'd say, Jerry, I'm going to pull you out of the truck. Got a guy to take your place. I need about 15, 20 minutes of your time. First time it happened, I thought I was in trouble. I thought, what in the world have I done? And then they take you to the break room, and this supervisor that's been, less than understanding for the first 6 months, all of a sudden is very nice to you. And so he goes and says, can I buy you a Coke? And I'm thinking, okay, what's going on, Okay, and then, sure, buy me a Coke. And, yeah, can I get you anything else? No, I think I'm good. And he sits down, he's got this folder, and then he wants to go through, and he is asking you questions about the job, and questions on how you feel you're being treated, and questions about this, and questions about that. It's this feely-touchy thing, and I'm sitting there, hey, I got a free Coke, I'm good, so I'm drinking my Coke, and I'm thinking to myself, what is he doing? And I finally just said to him, his name was Mark, I said, Mark, what's going on? What is going on right now? I need to understand what we're doing. Well, every 6 months as you work here, they're going to pull you in and they're going to answer these questions and we want to get feedback. And this is your opportunity to talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. And I said, really? Is there any boundaries on that? And he said, no, this is your time. And I'm required to write down everything that you say. And I said, oh, that's great. That is great. I said, write down this, Romans 3:10. He's like, what? Just write it down, Romans 3:10. And he wrote out in longhand the entire plan of salvation as I was teaching him how to be saved. And he's like halfway through just looking at me. And I said, come on. It's only going to be every 6 months, Mark. You can do this. You can do this. And so I had some fun with him, and finally I told him at the end of that time, listen, I know I had some fun, I made you do, but I said, I do appreciate the opportunity to give feedback, and I thank God for the job I have. And he said, and he started to close this thing, and he looked at me, and he said, Jerry, can I just ask you, just between us, a question? I said, what? And he said, why do you work so hard for UPS? Why do you work so hard for UPS? I mean, you understand, young men, that you're going to stand out. He said, come on, between me and you, you see the guys around you. You know that you're, and by the way, I was a member of a union there. I'm not anti-union, but I am anti-lazy. I said, I'm not anti-union, but I'm anti-lazy. You're hiding behind your union to disobey the Bible, then shame on you. Okay? But I was a member of a union then. He said, that there's protections. You know, you could do a lot less. He said, honestly, I'd like to know, because I'd love to be able to inspire other. And I said, listen, I said, I don't want this to sound wrong, but I don't work hard for UPS. And he said, yes, you do. I said, no, I don't. He said, okay, what are you saying? I said, Mark, every time I go in that truck, I'm working number one for the Lord. For the Lord. And I said, you know what? And I shared this verse with him where the Bible says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto man. I said, Mark, don't get me wrong. I think you're a good supervisor, but I'm not doing this for you. You know, I appreciate Mike. I think he's a good manager, but I don't do this for him. I don't do it for the company. I do it because one of these days I'm going to stand before the Lord. And you know what? He's given me commands in the Bible, and I'm supposed to live up to those commands. And I said, I hope that the way that I work would cause people like you to understand that being a Christian is a great thing. And that our country was a lot greater when we had people that were Christians in places of employment. And then, you know, he said, well, I'm Catholic. I don't really practice and all of that. But, Jerry, I do appreciate what you're doing for for the Lord. I appreciate for the Lord. And folks, don't you understand that if we just do what we're supposed to do as Christians. Oh, preacher, but my boss doesn't appreciate it. My company doesn't appreciate it. I'm going to tell you something. They are watching. And they may not understand it. And they may even make fun of you at times. And you may get ridiculed by the people around you. But if you'll just come in every day and you'll do it on a regular basis, you will gain something. Men, listen to this. You'll gain something that's called respect. And you know, once you have the respect of a man, then you can win that man to Christ. You got a better chance of winning that man to Christ. Isn't this good for us? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, just for this portion of Scripture that helps us to learn how we can best represent you. Lord, I thank you for the health that you've given. Lord, I think one of those things that we so take for granted until we don't have it anymore is the health, is just health, just the ability to get up and go and work hard. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'll help us, dear God, the opportunities you've given us. I don't care whether it's a small job or a big job. Lord, I pray, dear God, whether or not there's nobody watching or 100 people watching, I pray, Lord, that you would allow us to always be the type of workers that are doing it as unto you, as unto you. May you be pleased. May you be pleased, Lord. I pray that you'll help us. We pray in Jesus' name.